great reminder, and how important prayer is for us as Christians and us in our body, as a family, a church family. So, Brother Roger, come and share with us, please, what the Lord has. And we'll have a time for question and answers as well, so please don't hesitate.
Where'd that come from? Just before we show the slides, I have to share again, probably every time we're here, but it's our ministry verse. It's 2 Corinthians 4:3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And I want to read the verse 4 as well. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And that one, that verse, "if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost," really gripped my heart, and I've preached on that here, I'm pretty sure. But the second verse, or the verse 4 says, "But in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So we're still trying to reach lost people. We're still praying for them because we realize that there's an enemy. And we talked about prayer. And, you know, if their minds are blinded, that verse is kind of negative. It's like, what do we do about that? Well, we pray. And it's a spiritual battle. Someone has said that the spiritual battle is like when you're behind the scenes in a play. You see what's happening outside, and you see the actors and all, but behind the scenes, there's a whole lot of things going on. And the Bible doesn't emphasize this, you know, looking for demons everywhere and casting them out and making a show of what's behind the scenes. But we also don't ignore that. And that's the way Paul presents it. What do? We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. We don't look for demons everywhere and that kind of thing. But you are aware that things are going on and that we serve a great God and a powerful God. And prayer is, like I mentioned this morning, so foundational, so important for what we're doing. And we began to pray as a church, as a missionary couple and as a church there in Brazil, how we could reach a more unreached area of Brazil. So we're going to share a little report on the church in Recife, which actually we've started two churches in Recife in our ministry. But our goal, and we've sent out missionaries to the outback. We trained and ordained two missionaries, sent them out, and they've done a great job. But I didn't feel as fulfilled because I felt like part of the vision wasn't getting through. And we began to see that part of our leadership style was to hands-on do it with them. So that's what we're able to be involved in. But as we began to look for an area, a city, we were praying about two key cities. And the Lord helped us narrow it down to one that's called Acolvide, and we've been writing a lot about that. And it means green bow. Acu is a bow, and green is Verde. And it's called there the doorway to the Sertão. Sertão is what we're translating outback, but it's the arid, it's a hard area of the country, a lot less evangelized, and there are some missionaries and pastors in the area sent out by Recife churches like we've sent them out, and a lot of those are discouraged, and it's a tough area, and we thought we need to start something of significance in this doorway to the outback, and that's the city that we've targeted, and we began to pray about. And I'm going to show a bit of that history, but I want to give a little of the backstory to you. And part of the backstory is that we're already there, we're already doing some things, renting facilities, and you'll see a little bit of that. And, you know, we were out looking at land when we didn't have a cent to our name for the land, let alone the building. And I just have to share this with you because it's an answer to prayer. The mission had, you know, and the way our mission does missions, we raise all the funds for everything. You know, I mean, it's a faith mission. We raise our support. We raise the money to build. You know, it's all, we say we raise it, but it's God. And we present the need and people give and they pray and so forth. Well, we're there on the field, and it's not ideal to be raising funds from the field because you're not here to tell people about it. But the church set a goal there. But this is kind of in the make. I think it's, I'm trying to remember, Marcia, the chronology. If we were raising money already before the land, I think we were already in the project. But we, well, I think, no, we launched it soon after we got the land, because we didn't have land. So here's what happened. The mission ended up selling some property in a city where the missionaries had to leave for various circumstances. There wasn't a structure for the national to carry it on. And it ended up being in a part of the city, this other city, that was quite, had gone up in value. It sold very, very well. And the mission asked me to fly down there to sign over the papers, because I helped sign for the mission. So I, you know, went down there and signed it over and didn't think a lot about, other than it grieved my heart to be, you know, seeing something that I thought, this would be a great place to start a church. This would be a great property to start a church in. We were too busy doing what we were doing to do that, but signed it over. And then soon after that, the mission wrote a letter to the missionaries in Brazil and said, you know, present your projects, because we sold this land and we're going to look at some ideas of where to spend this money. Well, I think we're about the first in the row, because I got it in right away. And long story short, the mission's sent enough money to buy the property. So we were out there, but you know, you feel a little silly before. I'm telling you how it happened, but I felt pretty silly looking at land without any, you know, but here's where faith comes in. Because it's like, well, if God's called me to do this, I don't think he's playing tricks on me. We're going to need a land to build. We're going to need a building and all these things. But it was kind of like I mentioned this morning. It's kind of, well, Lord, it's your problem. But it was amazing, because the mission sent enough to buy this property that you're going to see pictures of. And then we launched a campaign to raise $80,000 in the U.S. and 80,000 reais, which is about a third of the dollars, in the national church. And I'm here to say that in a year and a half, the Lord raised that money. The national church came to bat, did their best, did all kinds of things to help raise funds, and there's a lot of stories there. But it's just here. We're just here to say God answers prayer, and that he wants a church in that doorway to the outback. And so we're going to share a little bit of that. I guess the best way, am I in anybody's line of, can you move around if I stand right here? If I promise not to move much, can you see that over there? Okay. Well, we'll start here, and I think that's going to be the best way for me to just narrate a bit there. Well, we present our family, and this is a nice picture because it was taken about 4 or 5 years ago, and we look younger, like our last prayer card. So I'm going to freeze in time. We have 3 children. Stephanie's our oldest on my left there. Kelly Joy's our second child, and Michael's our third. They're all married, and they're giving us great gifts, which is grandkids. That's Stephanie and Daniel, and the 2 boys, Caio and Breno. And yes, the as we mentioned this morning, the mates of our kids are all Brazilian. They're bilingual. Daniel actually got his American citizenship, and he works for a law firm there in Florida. And we're just proud of our extended family. And the kids, you know, I have to tell one about Caio, this grandson here. The house it's a missionary house we're staying in there in Florida, and it had a little love seat on the front, a little rocker. And he said, well, now there's a place that grandpa and grandma can spend quality time. That's the kind of neat thing. I won't tell a lot of grandkid stories because I'll bore you. There's Stephanie and Marcelo, and they're two, Kelly and Marcelo. I'm nervous, aren't I? And Leah is our oldest grandchild, and then Mateus is actually Breno, his cousin you just saw. They're a week apart in birth. So we were able to come back for the birth of 2 grandkids in one shot. On one Monday, one was born, and on the next Monday, the other was born. We just love them to death. That was great. And then there's Mike and Ann and little Declan, and then they've told us they have another one on the way. So in March, we should have a 6th grandchild. And all of them live in Florida, and so we're just loving on them and enjoying this little gang thoroughly. I have a lot of stories about them, but got to go on. Recife's city of 3.5 million. It's a state capital in the northeast. It's about the farthest point east on the continents. A little bit north is the exact place for that, but that's the city we work in. It's really an urban place, a lot of high-rise buildings. This is a shot from one of the big new shopping malls that went in. And it's interesting. They keep building those, and they keep filling them up. I think, well, the other malls will get empty, and they don't. They just keep filling them up with consumers. And this is the kind of neighborhood we're working in. They're on the coast, as we mentioned, but these high-rise apartment buildings. So you can imagine how many people live in a small area, a small radius of space. This is Boa Viagem, and then we're going to be moving south and showing you the community that we, and similar community to that. We're still in the evangelizing, making disciples, mentoring, and church planning. Church planning ends up being the results of all these other things. And it's just, we just love what we're doing. And like we say, it doesn't get old because you keep meeting new people, new situations, and seeing God work in that. So, as I mentioned earlier, we were honored for 35 years on the mission field. We've had 37 now, and we just count it a privilege to be doing some of these same old things, but seeing God work in wondrous ways and making it interesting. Our latest church plan had been Koinonia. Before that, I'm not showing the pictures, but we had another church in one of those other neighborhoods south of that one that I was showing the pictures of. A lot of high-rises out there. But then in Piedade here, Koinonia has been our latest church plant that we've been involved a number of years now. And as I mentioned, we went through the good times, the hard times, and now Koinonia is on a wave now. And God has been blessing, giving growth, and just still baptizing, still seeing people come to know the Lord. This baptism was held in a house. If you look, the church is in the background, and that's in a pool in one of the neighbors' houses there. And actually, the people in the house there, it was their daughter that had been in our church. She's moved away, but we have a good relation with the family there. Occasionally, they come to some things at church, but they let us use their pool for baptism. Here was when we were putting in some deacons, installing them and to serve the church, and we thank God for the godly leadership that they provide in the church as well there. One of the interesting things in Koinonia that we transitioned recently was the youth leadership, because we got back into youth work, of all things. I think I was the oldest youth pastor on the planet, but we were helping this team reach the youth, and it was great to mentor, to disciple. I was teaching homiletics class to a few of the guys. They were doing the preaching on the youth group. It's really exciting to be involved, and here's just some of the planning meeting. Here's a planning meeting, and prayer has been a base, as I mentioned, not only in theory, but in the youth group. And recently, we've transitioned, as I mentioned, this ministry, but also just one of the leaders came to me and said, we chose a book to study in the small group, and he said, we want to know what you think about it. It's on prayer. I said, I think that's great. So that's neat to see that. Here's some of the big kickoffs in the summer. That was one of the youth meets, and just exciting to work with these young people. Those special occasions, then we'd rent the soccer, I guess it's called soap soccer or something, but they get all wet and slide around and have fun, and so that's just a little bit of that. And I want to just show a few of the ministries at the Church of Koinonia, because it's been one you've prayed for years. One of Marcy's passions has been the drama ministry, and we've done for 19 years, she's done an Easter play. And it involves most of the church, and we do it 4 nights and usually packed out. So it's been a good way to get the word out, the word of God out, and to see God use our people there. And it just seems like the Brazilian people, at least that we work with, have acting in their blood. So it's been fun, and she loved that ministry. She's had to transition out of that too, because we're just getting more and more freed up to be spending more time in the outback. This was a little more of the pictures of the drama ministry there. And then children's ministry has been a highlight and a blessing, and to see teams of people leading that as well. And Brazilians love events, and we really capitalize on that. We have a little music school going on before Sunday school. Our Sunday school there is in the afternoon, just before the service. And before Sunday school then, the kids are, some of them are learning guitar, keyboard, and other instruments, violin, and so forth. And then this was a special presentation during one of the services. The kids got up and helped bless us with what they're learning. New Year's, we use about every pretext to have an event, to get family and friends out, and that's been a neat thing to get people out. We have a Harvest Festival that's one of our big events. The last couple of years, we've had 300 out to this event. So it's been a just a fun highlight. Another neat thing is that we, as you evangelize people, as you disciple them, you begin to find out about people living together and need to get straightened out. And so we talk about, well, let's get this, let's get you married and do what's right. And there's a number of stories there, but long story short, one of the couples, he's a businessman and he has a recycling business, and he also is a surfer. It's his surfing is his sport, so his hobby. So he started evangelizing some of his friends, and the little person there, Roberto, and his wife were saved through this man's outreach. And Roberto is a professional surfer. As far as he knows and anything, he's the only little person that's a pro surfer in all of Brazil. And he, after they were saved, they were on national TV in Brazil, on one of the famous talk shows, sharing their story. So you might pray and just thank the Lord for people that get touched by the gospel, get transformed, and then begin to say, you know, this is great, and God uses their lives in ways that we never imagined. So that was four couples in one ceremony getting saying the yes, I do before God and getting things straightened out legally with the country and the state as well. And it's kind of something they say, we already have a lineup for next year because some people didn't get in time. There's limited seating and space and that kind of thing, so we couldn't just, we had to go with the four couples. And now there's about four more that say they want to get their lives straightened around as well. This is a pastor's mentoring group. This is another passion of mine that weekly I meet with pastors where we can shepherd one another. And this has been going on for years in Recife. I was part of the group, and then about 15 years or so ago, they asked me to lead it, and it's been a wonder and just a joy to help pastors have friends and to be ministered to. And that's something that I want you to kind of think about that, because later on you'll see that showing up in the Outback as well. And then God uses our hobbies. I'm not a surfer, but I do some mountain biking. So in mountain biking, we take some friends along, and this happened to be two of the deacons, and we just have a fun time and then just use things that God's given us, some of our fun activities, and we do a lot of talking about church and about life in general. And that's kind of where that's at. Pastor Claudio and Delaney, his wife, have been our associates there for years. And we're going to be in a transition with them in 2 years. I'm stepping down totally from the pastorate there. But just appreciate and love this couple and what they've given to the ministry there. And just are so proud of them and very happy to see how God has given them growth as well. They weathered that difficult time as we did in Koinonia. And now they're riding a wave like we are. And so it's been a lot of fun and just to see these fine folks serving God there in Koinonia Baptist Church. So here's the outback city of Aco Verde, the Green Bow, 70,000 population. It's kind of a hub city for the little villages around the area. Just a few more shots of the city. The downtown has a lot of nice little shops, and Marcy likes to shop down there because she doesn't have to have the same traffic problems as Recife. And we spend part of the week there, and it's kind of the advantage that we're empty nesters. So we're either in Recife ministering or we're on the road to Aco Verde, and then we hang our hack there for a few days. And then sometimes she's buying things for events in Recife or things that we're doing there, and she enjoys the downtown in Aco Verde as well. And as I mentioned, the mother church in Recife has sent teams out there to help us. And this is one of the teams that came. We had rented an auditorium in a hotel to do the meetings there. And we do a lot of different things during the week, but then we started with once a month services, official services, and we'd have those on a Saturday night. Now they're on Sunday mornings, but we had them on Saturday night so we could use some of the people from Recife to come out and minister with us in that way. These are a couple of the families that have come and helped us with ministry from Recife to help us in the Outback. And you might even recognize, but these were two of the couples getting their marriages in order. And they were wanting to get more on fire for the Lord and do things. And we said, well, let's take care of this part of it. One of the couples, actually, they were legally married. The ones on the left, the man on the, your left, and his wife here in the front. And he's a lawyer and works for Walmart in Brazil. It's kind of interesting, some of the stories, but they had wanted to have a church wedding, so they were able to get in with this group and also serve the Lord that way. We have a missionary couple, David and Sarah Carroll, that came with our mission. They transferred off the Amazon. They got a vision for the Outback, and they said, we want to go and work in there. And so that they wouldn't be off on their own, we invited them to help us for a few years in Aqua Verde. So they're on ground there, and they're there living the culture we're kind of the ones that come in visiting, doing stuff and overseeing things, but they've had a lot of ministry going on there. One of the neat things that has happened is Brazil now has American football going on, and David's quite an athlete, and he got kind of involved with these guys, and now he's the coach for the Brazilian American football, if you can figure that out. And here's just an idea of two of the players. By our missionary, Carlos. And David's about Carlos' size, so it gives you an idea. For a while, he's a quarterback, and we thought he'd get killed, so we were kind of glad when he became the coach and not the quarterback. So anyway, there's just been a lot going on. Carlos is one of the missionaries that we mentioned, ordained by the church, and he's on board there in Aqua Verde as well, oversees our construction, and has a lot of gifts and involved in that. His wife, Dinalda, is the secretary in the church in Koinonia, in Recife. So he does a lot of the trips with us, and we just have a lot of good fellowship and do a lot of hard work together. And there's the guys that kind of look over the what's happening there on the ground in Aqua Verde. We started a resource center, and one of the places we rented was this place here. Marcy's using her gifts. She's got a resource center that's functioning and been equipped through the years in Recife. So one of the things we thought, we're moving geography, but we're taking our gifts and our abilities with us. So she's setting up a resource center there. Got a good library going, setting up resources that can be lended to churches for activities. You saw the drama ministry, so you can imagine all the costumes she's got stored away. And almost weekly, right, Marcy? In Recife, we have people checking things out and using them and being blessed. And in the Outback, the needs are so much greater that we anticipate that being also a great ministry there in that region. Here's just one of the get-togethers in that building. We ended up, this was, she was starting or doing a coffee or breakfast for the pastor's group. Because, of course, if I do a pastor's group in Recife, we have to start one out there. And it grew kind of quick, and so we got a group, and we'll show a picture probably later on of them. But another highlight there, another thing we've been doing for years, if you've followed the letters, is we'll do a children's day for kids in the Outback. And one of the cities that we kind of had to pull up our ministries, we've prayed and worked for there for years, called Ingazeta. In Ingazeta, we would do children's day for 300 kids, to give you an idea. Well, we've had to transition that out of there. But the Lord has shown us a community right next door to Aqua Verde. And these folks, there's a unreached kind of people group in Brazil that we found out about a few years. I grew up in Brazil, as I mentioned today, but I didn't know, I never heard this, but there's these descendants from the slave day in Brazil. And they formed these communities kind of outside of the cities. Now, they integrate in the life of the city of Aqua Verde, for instance. They're really close by. They go to the schools and all that, but they have their own identity. They're a people group. And they're basically an unreached people group. And our missionary, Carlos, found out about them and started doing some ministry with them with soccer and just trying to bless a real poor community. met the community leader, Carlos, this other guy named Carlos, and his wife, Hafa, and began to talk about possibilities. Said, what about we do a children's day for you guys? And long story short, our church in Recife took a bus of people out there and did a children's day for them. And I'll show a few pictures of what went on. Just a lot of beautiful kids, and it was a neat day where we, each family in the church in Recife, bought a gift for one kid there, and they were able to give quality presents to the kids and just love on them and share the gospel with them. And that was, here's Carlos holding up one of the kids there. But it was just wonderful. And one of the neat things was we'd, in all these years doing this in other places, we'd never had a people that were more grateful and just couldn't believe that we were there just to bless them and share with them and to share the love of Christ. And the door's wide open, by the way, for us to be able to minister to this community. So you'll probably be hearing about them in the future. This is in the direct community where the land was given for the new church plant. And there's the piece of land. When we bought it, there was nothing right in the immediate neighborhood, but you can see there's already houses going up. There's probably about 20 constructions going on right now, right around where the church is going up. See, this is taken already from the building that's being built. You'll see it in a minute. But you can see the houses and all going up and around it. Here's Carlos and the crew up on top of the building. It's quite a large building. And then we got up in there to act like we know about construction or that we're doing something, but we're overseeing and involved in it. And here's a bit of the building going up by God's grace and His glory. And then since we've been back, well, I'll show you in a little bit, but this is one of the groups from Recife coming to see it. It's a two-story building. The project is built so we can build up further in the future, but we're stopping at two floors for now. But that's sort of the projected way it'll look. And let's see, here's just before we left, this is what it was looking like. And since we've gotten back, they're already doing more, see. So it's really exciting. It's really exciting. We're hoping in a few months to be able to move in to use a few of the basic rooms so we don't have to rent. We've been renting the hotel, and then I'll show you in a little bit here. We've been renting an event place down in the community, a few blocks from that construction. This is the place, and we use it for services. And this occasion was actually the first baptism, and they have a pool at that place, so that worked out nice. So we have the service in that area in the back, and then the baptism, and God is doing a great work, bringing people to Himself in the outback. And here's the pastor's mentoring group. And all of a sudden we saw that it's a need. And God is blessed. And I always ask, how long does it take a pastor to get trained for the ministry? And people say, well, at least 4 or 5 years or more. And I say, how long does it take them to jump out of the ministry because they got discouraged or they did something stupid? And they say, well, it's kind of quick, isn't it? I say, yeah. So that's kind of why we're investing in these men. And just, it's just been a pleasure to see God encourage. And we got pastors of all ages, got old guys like me and young guys like this guy, and people that need prayer. And then I don't know if how many have heard of Operation Christmas Child, where it's build a box. Do you do that here? I'm getting touched because we're on the other end of this now. And I talked about prayer, and we went to a training thinking, well, we'll use this in the outback. And so we took some of our leaders from Koinonia. We're sitting there in the training, and these guys are presenting and training. And they said, we have a leader for the team here. We've got a leader for discipleship, Pastor Kennedy here. We've got this other guy for finance, all these coordinators. And then he said, we don't have one for prayer. And I thought, well, that's a terrible deal. And I'm sitting in my critical heart, and I'm sitting beside my wife. I didn't say a word. I just, in my heart, said that. Well, after we were getting ready to go, Val Mead, the leader, the guy in the yellow beside me, says, Roger, I got something to tell you about. And I got something to talk to you about. I said, well, let's set up a day we can have coffee. In Brazil, there's every pretext is coffee. You know, got to have coffee. And he said, no, I said, because we're kind of in a hurry. We got another commitment. Can't really talk right now. He said, well, I just want you to pray about something. Well, he said, you know that coordinator for prayer here? We're thinking about you and want you to pray about being our prayer coordinator. Well, you can't say no, you won't pray about it. But I confess, when I was leaving in the car with Marcy, I said, Marcy, I don't have time for this. We're starting a new church. We're still senior pastor at Koinonia. We're leading the youth group. I mean, she knew it all. I said, I don't think I'm going to have time, but I'm going to hear what they say, and if I have time to, if there's a way that it can be a fit. But I was really worried about that. Well, we prayed, and God said, well, okay. And so we accepted. This is the national team, and if you know how it works on the field, then you start other regional teams. So they kind of all answer to the national team. So it's a real privilege. And being a gringo, being an American, to be the prayer coordinator for Brazil was an honor. And I just thought, well, Lord, you know what you're doing, but you don't feel adequate, but you just thank the Lord for it. And so we get to see the other end of it. We get to see the kids getting the boxes. And actually, this team puts together the boxes, buys the gifts and everything, because here's a prayer request for you. Brazil's customs is a nightmare. They sent two containers to Brazil, and they stayed in the port, and they couldn't get them out. Those containers were sent to the Ukraine. We lost them. So I say we need prayer. So what we do is they have the build a box where people give money, and then we build them there. But it's a lot more limited because there's not that much funds, and you can only do so much. You probably know, but Mexico gets 500,000 a year boxes. 500,000. And I think it was 6,000 last year, somewhere around there. So, we're just, it's a drop in the bucket, but we're happy about that. And then we talked about Acuvedi, 500 boxes went there to that pastor's group, and people are hearing the gospel. These kids are getting discipled. I mean, it's quality stuff. They hear the gospel plain and simple and very creatively. They're loved on by that gift. And then they have 12 weeks that they're taught in the Word of God. And it's good material. It's great to be a part of that. But we'd ask you to pray that we can do more. They actually had me back in Orlando for their big celebration early this year. And I was able to stand up and pray in Portuguese. They wanted people praying for unreached people groups. So guess who I prayed for? The quilombolas, the descendants of slaves. I was able to pray in Portuguese. And I get emotional when I talk about that. But it's great to see that you folks are aware of that and able to pray. And this is what we really came here to say, is thanks for your part. Because God is doing great things. We're not worthy. We feel very small. We feel inadequate many times. But that's, again, why I say prayer is a declaration of dependency. Because when you don't know what to do, you have to bow your knees and say, God, help me out of this one or help me know the next step. So that's kind of where we're at. We appreciate you and just thank you for the opportunity to be here. And, Pastor, that's kind of what we had to share tonight. So we'll take questions. And if I don't know it, this lady here will know it, Marcy. Yes, sir?
Is there a predominant religion other than Christianity in Brazil?
Well, the Roman Catholic Church is the largest, and then spiritualism, or spiritism as we call it. And some people there with the syncretism, they don't have any problem saying they're Catholic and they're also spiritist. And that's hard for you to wrap your arms around, but it happens. And I'm able to use it for evangelism because sometimes I'll confront people. I kind of am careful about it, but one person was, and I know that in this spiritism, they deny the deity of Christ. They'll deny it. And I was telling someone, I said, you say you're Catholic, but you believe in the Catholic Church believes in the Incarnation and in the Trinity. So you got to choose something here. So it's kind of that confrontational, but kind of the jump start, like, let's get this conversation going, Well, it's been interesting, but somehow the Catholicism is more of a cultural, I was born this way, it's what I inherited, and I'm going to be this till I die. Well, they can dabble in these other beliefs and religion and get all confused in their head. But to me, a sinner is a sinner, and they need the gospel. So we just pray and go forth. Yes?
What kind of cost of living, such as gasoline prices, groceries?
Cost of living has been higher. Brazil was on a real prosperity boom, and then now they've uncovered all kinds of corruption, if you've seen the news. So things are tough there now. And so, you know, in the sense of the economy, it's hurting right now. A lot of people are losing their jobs. The churches in Recife, most of them in the last year or two have, I've talked to these pastors, they say that their giving has gone down 30%. So they're cutting corners and doing things. And again, I feel like the Lord has answered prayer at Koinonia Baptist, because the only thing we didn't do was give raises to people. But we were just kind of in a bubble. And I believe that God has protected us, and for some reason, helping us do missions and some of these things. So, but it's Brazil needs prayer. Brazil needs prayer. Yes?
Would you say a verse in Portuguese?
Sure. Se nosso evangelho está encoberto para os que se perdem. And that's 2 Corinthians 4:3, our ministry verse. 2 Corinthians 4:3 would be the reference. Mm-hmm. Yes? Yes, it's quite free, but what's been in the power there in the last two presidents has been the leftist government that likes Cuba, likes Venezuela. They're all buddies, and so it's very disturbing. But that we haven't lost the freedoms, but if people would open their eyes and look at those countries that are about bankrupt and have totally lost their freedom, but what happens is they come in and get the votes of the poor people because they give out, you know, groceries and things to get votes. That's kind of the long and short, but they impeached the former president, and now the guy, the vice president, he would have everything to be impeached, but it was just overturned, so he's still in power. But it's pretty sorry right now. Back there? Okay, the opposition and persecution would be more subtle things and nothing outright, so we've got a lot of freedom to preach the gospel, probably more than you'd have here in many contexts to openly preach the gospel. By subtle, I mean this, in the outback, for instance, it's that kind of the stronghold that the religion has on them, that you were born in this religion. You're kind of betraying the family if you leave it. So that's a tough one. So that's where we need prayer that God will break down those barriers. But we praise the Lord that we don't have open persecution. Maybe we need it. That's kind of what people say about America sometimes. If we lost our freedom, we get more on fire. I think it's kind of the same way there, too. So, yes, sir. Okay, as I was mentioning, we're trying to finish off a few rooms, and we've got a budget to kind of get that where we might maybe be able to move in to use a few of the rooms in the near future, in a couple of months. But we're going to have a lot of different classrooms to finish off. So one of the things is we're talking about maybe if churches can adopt one of those classrooms or a nursery or something, that would be, and we're going to be figuring that out pretty soon to have a dollar figure of what that'll cost. But that would be a way. And then we were chatting, Pastor, about maybe group in the future. I think with the new church plant, we have way more space to have a group down, maybe to do some ministry things, so we can be in talk about that as well. Appreciate it. Yeah, an English camp. We mentioned that, the children's work and things. Even the football. The football is interesting. We've done two football camps down there, and David, our missionary there, has brought down people related to football in the U.S., and had some neat times there. I got to do some of the translating. That's something I enjoy doing. And it's just kind of a team effort. But there's a lot of possibilities that way, too. Appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate prayer for our support, too. We're Like I mentioned this today, this morning, God has always brought it in, but it's always kind of that concern. We've got 6 months back that we'll be back, and we're $500 under monthly support. So we appreciate your prayers on that and that God would show us. We probably have to come back soon we won't get to all of our churches and individuals in the 6 months because of that distance logistics. But we'll probably be back for another short one. Last time we did it that way, we did 2 years in a row, but we did 3 months and 4 months back here. This time we're doing 6 months, and we'll have to schedule the next time back. And I'm not sure if the mission will require the 100% support this time or the next time. So pray about that too, as decisions are made and so forth. In a way, if they say you have to stay in the States longer, Grandpa and Grandma will probably say, whoa, that's okay. But we want to get back too. We want to get back to the work there. Thank you.
Was that the government that held up the containers with the boxes?
Yes, it's the red tape and the local government. It was more federal government. And then I've since learned that they're delegating more of that to regional or state and so forth. So it could be that we'd have more possibilities, humanly speaking, to break through that. But keep praying, and God will open the doors there. Thank you.
How many of you enjoyed your first trip to Brazil? Was it different than you thought it was going to look like? Yeah, the big city was just all city, wasn't it? Yeah, what a dense population to spread the gospel. It's interesting you mentioned Operation Christmas Child. We just had our VBS. And our offering this year was, because it was Operation Arctic, it was a cold theme for the middle of the summer when it was 104 degrees, was Operation Christmas Child. And so we raised funds for that. And so what I'm hearing you say is maybe it's better if we sent the money than sent the boxes. In your guys, is that a possibility? Okay. So Argentina, Bolivia, and Brazil are the build the box there. So we could help with our funds to help to build the boxes where you're at. Okay. That is amazing. Other questions you guys have or thoughts? Pretty exciting, isn't it? Anybody interested in making a trip down there to do some building? That'd be a pretty amazing trip, wouldn't it? That'd be an amazing trip. Or go down and do a kids camp, an English camp, and a VBS or something like that. God has opportunities for us to serve him besides just right here, too. So we'll be thinking about that. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I appreciate the time. Let's all stand together, turn to 41. We're just going to sing this chorus through one time. 41, we bring the sacrifice of praise. Amen. And we're going to sing this once. Keep your spot there, then have a seat. I'm going to make a quick presentation, then we'll close. So let's sing this one time first, though. 41.